from the Interim Director, Department of Transportation, and the Managing Director, Milwaukee County Transit System, submitting an informational report regarding the feasibility study to increase non-captive ridership, lower fares, maintain passenger revenues, and eliminate paper transfers. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Grant.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, joining me is Dan Boehm, Chief Administrative Officer for the Transit System. Mr. Boehm is one of our project leaders on the automated fare collection system, and he will be presenting our report on the question of whether it is feasible to simultaneously increase ridership, lower fares, maintain revenue, and eliminating paper transfers. We have a short PowerPoint presentation that provides an overview of the feasibility study.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Supervisors. While this is just getting set up, I'll give a brief introduction. The adopted 2013 budget directed the transit system to conduct this feasibility study, and the presentation that we're about to do and the report that's before you responds to that directive. The feasibility study that we conducted included an analysis of four key areas. First, we looked at the change and whether it was justified and what can be accomplished, and that's under the scope of a situation analysis. We also looked at who would be impacted, a ridership analysis. Thirdly, we looked at the impacts on the organization that is the transit system. How do we make the changes? Will any regulatory requirements be triggered? And finally, we looked at the fiscal impacts. As part of the situation analysis, we assess the current situation. Over the past year, this committee has heard from the labor union representing bus drivers at MCTS. The union has stated that most problems occurring on buses, including assaults, are attributed to paper transfers. In January, some of this information was introduced to you. We reported that the transit system experiences incidents, but that they're rare in relation to the 45 million annual passenger trips that are provided. This chart shows 52 assaults that occurred in the first 11 months of 2012. This is the information that was presented in January. 33 of these 52 assaults involved objects or liquids being thrown at bus operators, which is something that this board, the supervisors, has addressed through the 2013 budget by approving of the installation of bus operator shields on all buses. A lesser amount of the assaults involve operators being spit at or physically assaulted. And each of these assaults are a serious concern to management, the union, and bus operators. We know that we provide rides to over 45 million passengers per year, but we all still want the numbers of assaults to be zero. If we look at the center column, the short bar on this bar graph, we see that there are six assaults related to paper transfers during those first 11 months of 2012. So we agree that paper transfers can contribute to conflicts between bus operators and passengers, but they do not appear to cause most problems on buses. Another part of the situation analysis was to look at customer preferences. In February, over 400 passengers were surveyed in person and online, about 200 each. About half of those passengers indicated that they pay their fare with cash or a ticket, which is important to consider because these are the passengers that would be most affected by the elimination of paper transfers. If transfers were eliminated and no other changes were made, about 75% of passengers would be opposed. The chart you see here reflects the revised question that asks passengers how they felt about lowering the fare from $2.25 to $1.75 and then eliminating transfers. And the opposition dropped a little bit to 60%, as shown in this chart. What I'd like to point out is the passengers that do not transfer, the green boxes, are not surprisingly in favor of a lower cost fare. But these passengers are clearly outnumbered by those that do not want to see transfers eliminated in the red boxes. These are the passengers that transfer once, twice, or even three times to reach a destination. When we look at the ridership analysis, we estimate 19,000 passengers per day will be impacted by eliminating paper transfers. That's well over 5 million of the 45 million annual rides. Low-income riders and minority riders tend to pay their fare with cash at a higher rate than other riders. These riders would be disproportionately affected by the elimination of transfers because they would be subject to a higher fare since they would have to pay each time they board the bus. Introducing a day pass provides one alternative to paying with cash, but getting a day pass can be inconvenient because the passengers would have to purchase the day pass in advance from a retail outlet. Another part of the situation analysis is to look at what peers in the industry are doing, and these are a lot of larger city transit systems. There's 34 transit systems represented in this chart, 35 if you count Milwaukee. If we look at the right-hand side, no transfers when paying with cash, there's 13 transit systems that do not offer a transfer when a passenger pays with cash. This is the direction that the Milwaukee County Transit System is moving in. These transit systems have intentionally shifted passengers to transit cards away from cash fares because of the extra expense of sorting, counting, and depositing cash revenues. Most of these 13 transit systems used to belong in the center of this chart, the column of transit systems that issue magnetic transfers. But they stopped doing that because of high costs and longer boarding times required to dispense transfers from a farebox machine. There's still 11 transit systems that dispense transfers. It's a common practice in the industry. There's probably many more smaller transit systems that provide this type of service with this type of equipment. But we're really aiming to skip over this for the reasons that other large transit systems are discontinuing the use of this equipment that's already on their fleets. There's high costs to maintain them, and they increase and make for longer boarding times, which is a disservice to the passengers. On the far left, we see that there are 10 transit systems that still issue paper transfers for some transfer activities, even though these cities also have transit fare cards. So there still is a place for paper in many large transit systems. The most important point of this slide is the fact that no transit systems eliminate paper transfers without first installing a new fare collection system. Just looking at some of the steps that would be required by the organization to implement the suggestion of lowering fares, eliminating transfers, and introducing a day pass. There's several areas that would be impacted. Printing operations would increase because we'd have to have extra security on a day pass that isn't currently a part of a transfer. We would have staff demands changing and increasing as new accounting methods would be needed to keep track of daily pass sales as well as handle the increase in cash receipts in the fare box. This would be in comparison to revenues yielded from pass and ticket sales as we currently have. Marketing and public education would be needed to ensure that passengers understand the new fare forms and fare policy change. And lowering the cash fare triggers a regulatory review of the paratransit fare because of the requirement that the paratransit fare not be more than twice the local fixed route fare. This slide demonstrates the fiscal costs of the changes that I just described. And while it appears from revenue projections that an increase in operating dollars can be realized by lowering fares from $2.25 to $1.75 and eliminating paper transfers while introducing a one-day pass, it is admittedly difficult to determine exactly what rider reaction will be to the change until you do it, especially because this is not a tact that other transit systems have taken. Given passenger reaction to the proposal, as captured by the February survey, there could be more ridership loss and as such, lower revenue amounts than currently projected. The risks associated with this unprecedented move should not be overlooked. This is the final slide. In summary, it's not feasible to attain all four outcomes. While a lower fare adds value for some transit customers and is expected to increase ridership. Discontinuation of free transfers for patrons who heavily rely on the transit system can lead to economic hardship for these riders, decreased ridership, and elevated problems with fare evasion. So as reported to the committee in September, we recommend that the elimination of paper transfers does not occur until after the new fare collection system is installed.
Okay. Questions from the committee before I go to the community. Supervisor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This report did address the possibility of lowering fares to $1.75, which had been discussed suddenly in the previous budget cycle. Was there a consideration? Has a consideration been made to a $2 fare rate? That would be $2 even. We're currently changing nothing else. Understanding the new fare boxes will be coming in real soon now, that would then, as you pointed out, necessitate lowering the paratransit fare slightly. It would be down to then $4 because that is twice the cash fare.
Mr. Grant.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor Haas, yes, we did consider a $2 fare. We looked at that back in, I believe, September, October of 2012. At the time, we were considering the request of the Finance Committee. We found that $1.75 fare would result in the least economic hardship on customers, and therefore recommended that if there was going to be a reduced fare at all, it would need to be at the level of about $1.75 as opposed to the $2 fare.
Just a point of clarification, if you're asking about lowering the fare from $2.25 to $2 and keeping paper transfers, the revenue impact would be on the order of $800,000 to $1 million. And it's dependent on the numbers of new riders you draw with the lower fare, but then you're giving up 25 cents for each of those current cash boardings. It just gives you a ballpark figure.
Thank you, Mr. Boehm. Mr. Chairman, if you may indulge me another moment, sir. I had the opportunity to visit the Waukesha Metro transit system about a week ago with Supervisor Bowen. They're installing new fare boxes out there. They have the new magnetic strips. Magnetic strip cards will be produced by the new fare boxes. As they described it to us, actually, this is a step behind where we will be going to with the new smart card system. I was actually a little encouraged to hear that. Although Waukesha Metro will have a newer system, it will evidently not be as good, they said, as what we will have with the new fare boxes at whatever point they may come into fruition. So, Mr. Chairman, I have a final question for Mr. Boehm and Mr. Grant, then, which would be, will our new fare boxes be able to produce or provide, say, a day pass, or will they have a system that will somehow also eliminate paper transfers?
Go ahead.
In response to that question, we saw a number of transit systems that have the equipment, this group here, that have magnetics and or smart cards and have no transfer when paying with cash. That's a direction that many large cities have been able to go to because there's such widespread adoption of the new technology, in our case, smart cards, not magnetics. One option we are discussing with the fare box vendor is the ability for a passenger to pay $5 or $6 at the fare box, produce a smart card of their own that they carry with them, and have a day pass loaded on that smart card, and then the rest of the day they can continue to ride on that one-day pass. That is typically discouraged to some degree in large cities because of the multiple steps involved in paying the fare and getting the day pass. So a transit system would typically charge a higher fare to discourage the use of the fare box in that way. But we are looking at a day pass. It could be purchased online through an internet portal, or it could be purchased at a retail outlet and loaded on the card, and that would be done at a lower cost than at the fare box to encourage the prepayment of those fares.
I just want to clarify Mr. Boehm's last comment. The fare structure, which we will be discussing with this committee later this year, will include a smart card. Will include a smart card that provides for a day pass. So that is something that we did specify as a part of the system. What Mr. Boehm was just speaking to is that during this design phase, we have been having discussions with Scheid and Bachman, our vendor, that we would like to have the system set up where a customer can board the bus and pay a cash fare, and as long as they have a smart card, then a day pass will be automatically encoded on that smart card. So we're trying to build convenience for customers into this system so that they don't have to go to one of the 270 outlets that we have in the system to get a day pass. They can get a day pass right on the bus, similar to as they pay cash right now today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Jersey.
You had the four options and said they weren't all obtainable. One of those options was to eliminate paper transfers. Am I to understand from that we are still working to eliminate paper transfers? In other words, even though all these goals aren't attainable, we are still trying to eliminate paper transfers.
That is correct, Supervisor. That has always been our goal and continues to be our goal to phase out the paper transfers as soon as possible upon installation of the new fare system.
And the date for that would be?
The current schedule for installation of the new fare boxes remains on track for the late fall of 2013, and we are still working through the details with Scheid and Bachman as to the schedule as to when we will have the smart card system on board. I would anticipate that would be near the end of the year or early into the first part of 2014.
And I know all of us are anxious, including me, and we've kind of pressured the transit company. I'm a little bit encouraged by Supervisor Haas's comments because I think even though we may be taking a fair amount of time to do this, it sounds like we're doing it correctly. We're getting really the best technology. I would still like to see a smart card that could be used by the Waukesha County Transit Company, Amtrak, our ridership, the urbanites that live in our area would like to see something that allows them to use any means of mass transit. And I don't know if that's on your radar. I think we need to look at that regionally. If we get the Metra up here, we should even be able to use a smart card on the Metra. And they should be able, a rider should be able to use any form of transportation they want with one card. So hopefully people are talking to each other. That's my point. Sewer PAC hopefully is involved in this, and we're looking regionally. So thank you.
Supervisor Markowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm gonna cut to the chase because this has been before us the last couple of years. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, this, I don't mean to say it sarcastically, dog and pony show that you've presented and then this five-page report. My question to both of you is that have you had the same discussion with Local 998?
We had a discussion months ago. Our position really hasn't changed about the paper transfers. Our focus has been on what ridership is looking for and what's best for the community and what's best for the fiscal situation of the transit system.
Okay. Well,
to some extent, there's an agreement to disagree, Supervisor. Sure.
Listen, I understand that. Okay, and my point is that I've been on this committee a long time, and we seem to be going over the same doggone things, and it's this lack of communication because it's the county board members that are caught in between because management, for whatever reason, doesn't feel the need to talk with 998 or at least share this information. Okay, quite frankly, I don't understand why you wouldn't, okay? Even if, I mean, the data speaks for itself, okay? And so explain to them so that we're not deluged with the phone calls. It seems pretty simple to me, and I'm just floored by it.
Okay. Are you done?
I am.
All right. Thank you. We'll bring you back a little later. Since we have our clerk decided to give somebody a little leeway, we're not going to give any more leeway. This is going to be the only one for this one, and I'll make sure we understand that from this point on, clerk. I mean, Alice. I'm sorry. Madam Clerk, you have worked with us so much. It's been beautiful. Keep me on track. The analysts, would the analysts please stand up, please, so everybody knows. I want to give him a hand because he messed up this time. Michelle Seifer, please come forward, please. You want to talk about paratransit, but this issue is not in front of us, but we're going to give you a little leeway. So I heard that you had and you have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members. My name is Michelle Bandy Siegfried. I am the daughter of Chester J. Bandy, former paratransit rider of First Transit. My father was 86 years old, a hospice patient who had hydrocephalus, Alzheimer's disease, and was unable to speak at the end of his life. He attended St. Anne's Adult Daycare Center daily during the week. He was a very important part of our family, and we miss him dearly. On the morning of Monday, April 9, 2012, my father slid out of his wheelchair on his way to St. Anne's Adult Daycare Center on First Transit. Our family was never notified by First Transit, and he had to wait like this until First Transit's safety coordinator came to the scene to assist the driver in lifting him back into his chair. According to the report, his feet were on the ground and his butt was almost touching. Can you imagine what he went through? How did they know he was okay when he was unable to speak? We should have been notified. Later that day, on his way home from St. Anne's Adult Daycare Center, my father slid out of his wheelchair on First Transit again the same day. Dispatch called our family and advised them to meet the van as soon as it arrived. My nephew, who lived with his grandfather, assisted him on and off the bus on a daily basis. When my nephew went onto the van on this occasion, he found that his grandfather had slid out of his chair and that a seatbelt was around his neck holding him to the chair. My father's feet were on the ground and his butt was almost touching the ground again. My nephew was very upset with the driver and asked why he did not assist his grandfather. The driver stated that it was against Transit Plus's policy to assist the passengers on the bus. My father became unresponsive that night and hospice was called in. On Thursday, April 12, 2012, he died. April 10, 2012, my nephew and I called Transit Plus and complained. This is when we found out for the first time about the incident that happened on the morning of the 9th when my father slid out of his wheelchair the first time. Also, we found out that Transit Plus had no information about the incident that happened that evening of the 9th. We then requested the incident reports, names of drivers, policies, and procedures, and any video camera footage, and we received nothing as of May 3rd, 2012. We then sent out formal letters, emails, a petition demanding an investigation about what happened to our father. Milwaukee County Transit System decided to let First Transit do their own investigation. First Transit found themselves not at fault. First Transit claimed that we forgot to put a seatbelt on my father's chair that morning. My father's wheelchair never came with a seatbelt. The chair was ordered by myself through Vitas Hospice, specifically for van transportation, and it had no seatbelt. After being told to attend your meeting on September 12, 2012, by a county supervisor to have these issues addressed, I was told not to show up. We then put a formal request together with the help of Disability Rights of Wisconsin addressed to County Supervisor Michael Mayo, dated September 17, 2012, to attend another meeting. I never received a response back. That is why I'm here today. We can't change what happened to our father, Chester J. Bandy, but we can make a difference for those who use Transit Plus on a daily basis. This is what we want from Milwaukee County. First Transit needs to notify the emergency contact when a serious situation occurs on their vans, especially when a person is unable to speak like my father was. First Transit should not transport someone if there is a known problem with a wheelchair or its accessories. 911 should be called in any life-threatening emergency for any First Transit client. The cameras should be running on these vans at all times, just like on Milwaukee Public Transit System. First Transit and Transit Plus should foot this bill for their own liability purposes. Drivers, drive time, pickup and drop-off could all be monitored and the problems corrected this way. I'm asking that a public meeting be held concerning Transit Plus safety issues and all the other concerns about the delivery of their services be addressed before Transit Plus's audit is completed. Thank you.
Thank you. We're not going to take any comments on this. Thank you very much for being in front of us. We will look into this. The other person is Kathy. Petrakowski.
It's a good Polish name.
Oh, no. But if you know Supervisor Burkowski, it's not that good. I'm talking about him, not you. Come on, come on.
Let her finish.
You're not the chair.
He's the greatest.
She said I'm the greatest.
Well, you only have a minute for that one.
I'm here today because...
Hey, I can hear you over there, please.
Because of an email that I got from Michelle. Mr. Burkowski was helping me. I'm going to cry. With my mother. She started dialysis last February. And there were tons of times that she wasn't picked up and excuses made of why she wasn't picked up, excuses made why she wasn't picked up at the hospital. They were going to the wrong street. They would pick her up late. I guess according to First Transit, they have 25 minutes leeway in their time, but yet a patient only has 5 minutes. One time she left dialysis and she was hemorrhaging and she was 5 minutes late getting down. No one called up to dialysis. They left her sitting there. She would be done with dialysis and not getting home until 7. She lives 11 minutes away from where she gets the dialysis. And I understand that it's a shared ride. But why Milwaukee Transit cannot, or First Transit cannot, when they have a regular route, I used to work out of the building that they're in on 13th, okay? If they have regular people that every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, why can't they have a regular route? It's a different driver. They get lost. They take her all over the city. She has an ileostomy. She doesn't eat because she doesn't want her bag to bust while she's in dialysis. They do not have the facilities to take care of that if that happens. So she doesn't eat. So she now her time has changed. She's in the morning. So she doesn't eat from the time she gets up. And sometimes they don't get her home. She's done with dialysis at 2-something. Sometimes she doesn't get home until 4 or 5 o'clock. Why? Because the driver doesn't know where they're going. They're driving around the city. She almost got in an accident. And I want to address something that Michelle said. If Milwaukee or First Transit told her that it was their fault that the wheelchair didn't have a seatbelt in it, my mother's doesn't either. When is that a law? What's in the van that my father has, which we don't let him drive anymore, we had a seatbelt installed in there, and if the seatbelt is installed right on the wheelchair, you're not going to fall out. She didn't fall out this week when the First Transit almost rear-ended somebody, and she was hanging by her seatbelt. I kind of stopped bugging Mr. Burkowski. I mean, I was talking to this man almost every day. And as he told me out of his mouth, he said, I don't understand. If they hear the name Patricia Annis, my mother, if they hear that name, you would think that they would do everything to dot every I and cross every T so that they didn't have me screaming at him anymore or Mr. Burkowski. That only makes sense. But yet, and then it gets better for a while, and then it's my husband and I are getting telephone calls from the hospital, come and get her, the bus never showed. I hate every Monday, Wednesday, Friday because my mother's on the phone. She's 86 years old, but she's probably better off than I am. But she knows what's going on, and she'll tell me, this happened. She'll tell me exactly. She'll tell me how she tells the drivers, you're passing up my house, but yet they take her into Oak Creek, or they take her here. We need a meeting, I guess. And unfortunately, it's only me and Michelle here today, but when I left work, they're telling me, make sure you tell them about my aunt, how she's missing her medical appointments, dialysis. And old people, senior citizens, are afraid. My mother was afraid for me to come today because she said, they're going to start treating me bad again. the driver, oh, yeah, we know who you are. No, senior citizens should not hear that. Disabled people shouldn't have to be afraid. Senior citizens always don't have advocates for them to speak on their behalf, mainly because they're afraid. But we need to have a meeting. Something's got to change. I could go in there as a dispatcher, and that's part of the problem, is the way they dispatch the people and the drive. And constantly, I'm so sick of hearing constantly, it's not our fault. We don't have enough drivers. They just laid off. That's coming from the drivers, not from First Transit. The drivers are constantly saying, it's not our fault. They just laid off a bunch of drivers. They just got rid of a bunch of drivers. We don't have enough drivers. It's not right. It's not right that we're treating our disabled people and our senior citizens this way. My mother needs this to live, and I will do everything.
Thank you, Madam.
Sorry.
No problem. Let's go to about the report item number two now. And Mr. Grant, I would like to sit down with you and discuss about First Transit and the issues they have. Rita Smith, please.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is saddening, it is disheartening, it is disgruntling that we are still here yet again discussing the same issue with eliminating transfers. It is also quite saddening and disheartening when we have a PowerPoint presentation under the ridership analysis section that talks about a survey that was done to riders. When you have passengers of minorities or women or men of color that had requested those surveys, there's a survey that was done by the company where they were going out asking individuals how they would feel about the elimination of transfers, the lowering of fares. It's biased. When you are at the UWM campus discussing this with individuals that have a U-Pass, you have not taken the time or the liberty to have a survey that includes all of our passengers, all of the ridership. And when women and men of color are specifically being passed over, and they have to ask themselves for this particular survey, that is biased, it is disheartening, it's disgruntling, and frankly, it is 2013. This is not 1910. The fact that we are again still here discussing the same issue and the sense of urgency does not seem to be there. The fact that we have members on the county board that have stated the drivers and 998 are making just too big of a deal out of this, that it's not that big of an issue, again, is completely unacceptable, disheartening, disgruntling, and frankly, I am just pissed. As a driver, many of my colleagues, we don't challenge the fares anymore. We have members of management that have told us, if someone gets on the bus with a library pass, let them ride. If someone gets on the bus and puts in Chuck E. Cheese tokens in the fare box, give them a transfer. Just let them ride. No one seems to care. And it's saddening and disheartening when I have fellow coworkers that, you know what, it is what it is. If management is telling me to let these people ride and still give them a transfer, then that's what I'm going to do. So the survey that shows assaults, incidents, anything that has occurred with transfers is not accurate because it happens more than not. But unfortunately, when you have members of management within the stations telling drivers to do a certain thing to avoid a conflict, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. We're caught in that middle frame. And there's some other issues that I would like to bring up and discuss regarding this, but I will exceed my three limit 3-minute time frame, so I will definitely make sure that I get these in writing to the board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Angela Walker.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Board. The fact that we have repeatedly brought the issue of paper transfers before this committee should indicate the urgency for reasonable resolution that we are feeling. It is not our habit to waste time pursuing trivialities, and it should be obvious by now that this matter is far from trivial to us. The MTS management team, whose contracts are held by the county board, has time and time again proven itself absolutely unresponsive to the needs of its workers. That is why we have come to you. One of this committee's members recently commented that we are making more of the issue of paper transfers than there is. You tell that to a driver who has been spit on, threatened, or hit behind paper transfers, many of whom have already addressed this committee. To say that was nothing short of cruel. Our experiences day to day speak exponentially louder than any hastily constructed last-minute attempt by MTS management to win public favor and appease this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. James Bacon, Macon.
Thank you. Also a debtor called debtor from the streets. If I'm not paying the fare, if I can hand my transfer to someone else and not pay the fare, or take my transfer and sell it someone else for a dollar, why should I get rid of the transfers? We weren't the one that came up with $1.75. $1.75 is what people paying now with the transfers, because you said lower the fare to $2.25. Well, I invite the county board to come actually ride on the bus and see what we go through, because what's happening is we lucky to get anything when we get it, because like he said, the policy is let them ride. But like I said, go on 27th Street and you can actually see debtor on the streets who's actually using transfers, who's actually begging for transfers. Because the problem now, what's happening, is the people that's paying the fare is having a problem that other people is not. Thank you.
You're talking loud. I'm Al Simone and Rick Bassett. I'll be here for this. I don't stay on you now. I don't want to hear all that.
Morning. Excuse me. Morning, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. Alan Simone is President of Amalgamated Transit Union Local 998.
Rick Bassett, Vice President.
We're here today again. As you heard from our operators, we're frustrated. Time and time again, I've said it before, we've come here, we talked about paper transfers. We heard about the fare boxes in Waukesha spitting out a transfer for passengers. Our fare boxes won't. Everybody says we're moving ahead. I believe we're still stuck at a stone age with these fare boxes that we have purchased. Not everybody's going to have a smart card. There's no plan still what to do with a passenger that gets on a bus and pays a cash fare and says, I want to use the bus, another bus. If I want to transfer, I don't have a smart card, what do I do? There's no answers to this. And I guess just for the record, I should say, we are not involved in this. For some reason, MTS management does not want our local to be involved in this. These are concerns that we have. We brought them to the board or to the committee many a times, and we still see no input from our operators. Our operators are out there firsthand. They know what's going on. You know, the information that was on this PowerPoint, it's informative, but I think it misses a lot of details. Does it mention in Jonathan Knapp, Virginia Barnes, Marjorie Thomas, Lisa Smith, Thomas Eagle, Sandra Cooper, Shanika Hayes?
Just that, a few.
Right, just a few that haven't been physically assaulted but have been threatened over the use of paper transfers. You know, a passenger gets on my, these are security reports from the operators. I'll paraphrase it a little bit. You know, they call me, they want to get on the bus, the kids want to get on the bus with expired transfers. I don't let them, they threaten me. They threaten me, they call me dude. They start banging on the bus windows, start disturbing other passengers, all because I didn't allow them to get on with their transfers. But they still get on and ride. The transfers are an issue. We need to get rid of these paper transfers. We've heard time and time again that the new fare box is going to eliminate the paper transfers, but they're not. The fare boxes that Waukesha has, they're state-of-the-art. They're made here in the United States also, and they spit out a transfer when needed. The operators there, they started on Monday with the new fare boxes, and there has been no problems as far as I've heard. We represent the members in Waukesha, and that's how we hear firsthand how things are going out there. The supervisor that did go see the new fare boxes, again, these fare boxes are what we had asked for originally. Originally, we did ask for the fare to be dropped down to a dollar, not to $1.75. We know the hardships that are out there, but I wish I had time. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. Rick wants to speak a little bit, and I appreciate the time you're giving me, but this PowerPoint needs to be gone over by us as a committee, point by point, and make sure that the facts are in this PowerPoint. I can come up with all kinds of presentations that are not factual. Again, the assaults that were mentioned, do they include the assaults of the verbal assaults, or are they just the physical assaults? And from, you know, we had OSHA come in, OSHA did a study. There are a lot of things that go unreported because many of our operators say, why should I report anything? Nothing gets done. And it's coming to the board level now. It's not only with management. It's saying, what is the county board doing about this? You know, we go to them. We tell them we have these concerns, we have these problems, issues, and nothing gets done. I'm going to end with that, and I'll turn it over to Rick.
Mr. Bass, you have a minute and a half.
No, you have
a
minute. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I'll be quick, hopefully. The surveys, as we heard, are not vindictive of what really is out there. The minorities didn't get a chance to put their surveys in to speak what their minds really are. And as we know from elections, it's a silent majority sometimes that is what it is. And in this particular case, it's not what happened. The assault issue, six assaults is too many. It's too many. If it's your son, it's your daughter, your mother or father that's being assaulted, that's too many. As Al said here, it's not just the physical assaults. It's the threatening. It's the people going to kick somebody's ass. All these things are involved in this. And a lot of these don't get brought up. So we want the elimination of paper transfers. And it was real nice of the company to come and come to us with this PowerPoint, show us all of this, because they didn't do nothing. They never even called us on this issue. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Supervisor Lisco? Yeah, I can go.
No.
I thought you had a question for us.
Oh, you have a question for them?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Okay. So I'm a little confused. So for a couple of years, I've been supportive of getting rid of the transfer. I thought we were going to get at it in this 13 budget. At this point, I'm not so interested in doing it months before we do the fare box. But some of your testimony, Mr. Simonis, President Simonis, is confusing to me because I thought it was the position that you all wanted to eliminate the transfer, but then it sounded like you were suggesting that the Waukesha system that issues a transfer is better than the system we're going to buy, which will have encoded transfers and will eliminate paper transfers. So that's confusing to me because it seems to me that the problem with transfers isn't just the drivers having to issue them; it's the having to honor them, or have the dispute over whether it's a valid one or not. So, don't we want to eliminate the presence of the paper transfer altogether?
Okay. Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is discussion we need to have. We have to make clarifications. The paper transfers that we have today, our operators hand out. And when a passenger gets on, that's where our assaults come in. We've had operators dragged out of their seat to steal the transfers because they're accessible. We do not want our operators to handle these transfers. If a fare box kicks out the transfer, now the fare box will read the transfer if it's a good one. In Waukesha, for instance, it has the time on it, so if you slide it into the fare box can reject it or accept it. If it rejects it and the passenger says, well, I still have time on it, the operator can look at the time on the transfer and say if it's no good or not. Right now, we let people ride anyway, as you heard. It would take our operators out of the picture. So if the fare box says that your transfer is no good, the operator then, according to company policy, can just say, well, go ahead and ride for free anyway.
Supervisor Lisco?
Okay, I guess I still feel like It seems to me the sort of judicial position that the driver has to take in terms of mediating whether the transfer is good or making the decision to avoid an altercation altogether, or potential altercation, to say, whatever, just ride.
Well,
it seems to me that that's going to persist no matter what. I mean, if you've got someone who's unwilling to pay a fare, they're going to get on with a smart card. The smart card's going to say there's no money in it. I mean, you're going to have that situation in any fare situation. You will have some percentage of people who are unwilling to legitimately pay. But that doesn't negate the fact that eliminating the paper transfer seemingly would eliminate some of the types of incidents we've had. And I guess I'm not understanding why we would want to, why it sounds like you're now saying we would want a system that retained paper transfers just in an automated way.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, once again, if we go with these new fare boxes that we're having, you're still going to have the issues, as you said, with a smart card. You're going to have the fare disputes, fare issues, no matter what you do. We want to take our operators out of that, where if somebody gets on and if we went with a fare box that kicked out a card, a transfer, now the operator is not handling them. Now we don't have the argument of saying that one operator the transfer is an hour or an hour and 20 minutes. We just eliminate the paper transfers and our operators dealing with them. You're going to have the fare disputes no matter what kind of fare system you have.
Will.
But we still want our operators to be taken out of that loop where they're held responsible for carrying the transfers and distributing them.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, isn't that what we're going to have? We're going to have a smart card. The transfer is encoded on the card. It's either got a transfer or it doesn't. The driver doesn't have to have, there's no interpretation. It's gonna say it's good or it's not good, right? So they will be out of that role with the new fare box system. Now, they will still retain this issue of, if there is no fare, whether they decide to just let them ride, if that's the policy, and if that's what they follow, right?
Right. Well, Mr. Chair and supervisors, one of the things is that if a person, again, with the new fare box style, even with a smart card, what do you do for the person that pays cash that doesn't have a smart card and they want to transfer to another bus? So you're still going to need something to allow that passenger, if you don't drop the fares like we had asked, to a dollar, how does that person transfer to another bus? They still have to pay another full fare.
Correct. Until they get a smart card. So you do that, hopefully you do that one time.
But, Mr. Chair, supervisor.
This would be my answer.
Well, you know, are you done?
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you.
We've got to be another time. I agree that it's going to be an issue if we got rid of everything without no transfer. If they pay one price, even a dollar, the person don't want to pay the next one. Those are some things we got to sit down and hash out. And I appreciate you coming this morning. And I've been telling, even the agenda said, I said, it's going to be an issue. We don't file. This is about a transfer and come in and have a day pass and have outlets. So we will deal with this again. Okay? President Simone, Vice President Bassett, thank you for coming.
Mr. Chair, we thank you. It's just that we don't want more operators assaulted. We want this done. We've been heard about it for years and nothing's been done.
I think the things of this board have tried many ways, and the transfer is the one that's been a sticky one. But we tried to do a number of things to make sure we put cameras on there, shields, and we have been concerned, this committee and the county board have been concerned about the operators. So that one, you understand that we have been doing our fair share to solve that problem.
And, Mr. Chair, I appreciate it, and I do appreciate it, supervisors. And just remember the loss of revenue, too, for the misuse of paper transfers that's involved. We didn't see that on the PowerPoint also. And you just real quick,
President, you had a good time. Bye, President. Bye, President.
Thank you.
Bye. Supervisor Bowen, you had a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Supervisor Lipscomb cleared it up, so I'm fine.
All right.
I'll follow up with individuals.
Okay, good. On this item was informational.